My problem this Christmas is the baby Jesus. Not that I, Emma Gibson, 34-year-old suddenly singleton of this parish, have anything against the Christ child found in every family nativity scene, or the meek and mild infant of the carols. The baby Jesus that's creating havoc in my life is known to her parents as Daisy. She's my 3-month-old niece, the daughter of my brother Joe and his wife Mary. It all started as a pun on their names, of course, Joe and Mary. Oh, all right, it was a bit of wickedness on my part, because it was obvious from the first hallowed announcement of Daisy's arrival that no one, apart from the original Blessed Virgin, had ever managed to have a baby before. The rest of the family, my elderly mother, my sister, Caro, her husband Paul, and their children and me, have been dragooned into supporting roles, either as dumb animals worthy only to toil in Daisy's service, or adoring magi dispensing gifts. During her pregnancy, Mary's specialist told her that she must listen to her body. Her body, as it happened, insisted that the best way to ensure a healthy baby was to give up work immediately after the pregnancy test, lie in bed all day, and then go out to meet friends in the evening. Joe behaved as if Mary was liable to be whisked into intensive care at any moment, until Caro, who plays up to her role of bossy sister-in-law, and who's had 3 baby Jesuses of her own, started saying things like, "Pregnancy is not a disease, and at your stage I was working a 10-hour day in a busy marketing department." Mary and Joe have agreed between themselves that Caro works because she's materialistic and selfish, and has only herself to blame if her children turn to drugs before they're 13. If I dare to venture an opinion, let alone defend her to Mary and Joe or them to Caro, they all round on me and tell me that I don't understand because I don't have children. In fact, I have had my own visitation from the angel Gabriel recently, in the form of a man called Matt, with whom I thought I'd been having an exclusive live-in relationship. He arrived home one evening and, out of the blue, told me that a baby was expected, but that I hadn't quite made the grade as the chosen one. And like the original Gabriel, he promptly disappeared. Although in his case, it was with a physiotherapist from New Zealand called Katie. I was left to face the consequences on my own, amongst which are spending Christmas at my mother's house in little snoring on the pillow, as I call Parson's Gusset in Gloucestershire, in my old single bedroom, with my sister and brother sniping at each other over whose child or children are really the central figures of Christmas. It's 2 days later, Christmas Day. I'm perched on the loo with the seat down, slugging back an early sherry with a garland of tinsel round my neck. It's cold, uncomfortable, and just slightly whiffy. But it's the only place you can be alone in this house. Christmas got off to a flying start when Mum, according to Joe and Mary, hadn't sorted out anywhere safe for Daisy's carry-cot in Joe's old bedroom. I'm not sure what's wrong with putting the Moses basket on the floor, or even on top of the chest. But when Mum suggested it, Mary was horrified that Mum could endanger her grandchild in this way, and spent most of dinner either conspicuously breastfeeding or sulking with a hurt expression on her face. Caro, in her usual brisk way, sorted it out over the pudding.
Why don't you put the baby in Emma's room, Mum? It's just next door to Joe's. She hasn't got children, so she won't mind sleeping on the sofa bed in Dad's old study. You don't mind, do you, darling? After all, Christmas is about children, and I've worked so hard to make it nice for everyone.
The sofa bed's fine.
Well, I don't think Emma's room's suitable. No, you don't understand. Maternal bonding is critical in the first few months. Mary and I need to be in a room that's big enough for all 3 of us. The doctor said that mother and baby must take priority.
If this is really about having the guest room with the ensuite bathroom...
You see, Caro and Paul have to have the guest room because there's room on the floor for all 3 of theirs to sleep in sleeping bags.
For God's sake, I don't care where I sleep. I'm only worried about Mary and the baby.
At this point, Mary put on a saintly expression and said that she'd be quite happy to go back and forth between Joe's room and my old room, according to Daisy's needs. Joe thought that might be rather tiring for her, and Mary gave him one of those fragile, put-upon smiles and said that she would manage. The sofa bed downstairs turned out to be something of a bonus after all, because apparently, every time Daisy cried, it woke Caro's 2 eldest, who raced up and down the corridor, asking if Father Christmas had come, while their youngest, Noah, howled because he's only 3 and terrified at the thought of a big man with a beard coming into his bedroom and bellowing, "Ho, ho, ho!" So everybody was up all night and was exhausted and cross this morning. I woke up at one point trying not to think about Matt, heard the noise and wondered if the house was on fire. I decided that someone would tell me if it was, but on reflection, I'm not sure they would have. Single people without children seem to be expendable. Mum got up at 6 to see to the turkey and collided with Joe, who was sterilising bottles. Apparently, she queried why someone who was so keen on breastfeeding needed bottles, and Joe told her that they believed that the father should share the care of a baby equally, so they both got up in the night. He explained that he gives Daisy a bottle of expressed milk, of course, then Mary feeds her, and was extremely offended when Mum told him they were completely mad. He was still fuming later when he took me to one side and told me that Mum's attitude to Mary this Christmas was completely out of order. He was particularly indignant that she hadn't taken Mary's breakfast up on a tray, adding that he didn't think she had any idea how demanding a small baby could be and that Mary was exhausted. I murmured something about Mum being exhausted too.
Emma, darling.
Oh, God, it's
are
Mum.
You all right? You've been in there.
She's been timing me. I could have sworn she was safely downstairs winding someone else up. Is Mary up yet? I'd like to get a jumper out of the chest in my bedroom.
Oh, yes. Mary and Daisy are downstairs. Your bedroom's free. Quick, I want to ask you something. Do you think there's something physically wrong with Mary? I mean, she's so tired all the time, and she's only got one little baby to deal with. Oh, I feel so sorry for Joe. He works so hard all day, then he has to get up to feed the baby at night. Or do you think it's depression?
Depression?
Well, she doesn't have a job. She has nothing to do except lie in bed all day. I'd find that very depressing if I was her.
Mum, look, you're always criticising Caro for going out to work and neglecting her children, so I don't think that's entirely fair.
Anyway, don't say a word to anyone. I want everyone to have a lovely Christmas.
We went downstairs to the kitchen where everyone was having coffee. They looked like stunned mullets. The baby alarm in Daisy's room had been left on, and they'd obviously heard our conversation, although with any luck, with the whispers and the crackling, not quite all of it. I must say Mary does look tired. I suppose she hasn't had more than 3 hours sleep at a time for months. Mum straightened her shoulders and bowled into the kitchen with a defiant expression on her face.
We're due for drinks at Gussett Hall tomorrow evening, the Henderson's Boxing Day party. You've met Julia Henderson, I think, haven't you, Emma?
Well, the one with the whizzy sports car and handsome husband. Couldn't forget her.
At that point, Mary brightened and said that the Hendersons were bound to want to see Daisy, and that she did hope she'd be up to it. It would be so disappointing for them, she added, if she was asleep.
I gather Julie had twins about the same time as you had Daisy, Mary. She looks really slim. I don't know how she does it.
That was Caro being an absolute cow, because Mary is still rather porky. And I also felt sorry for her, because all the Christmas stories feature just one Christ child to be adored. Having someone pop up with two in a bigger stable and surrounded by more animals introduces an element of competitive worship that the original Madonna never had to cope with. Well, I suppose life's like that these days.
Did you see that study in the papers last week that showed that the children of working mothers do worse at A-level than the children of mothers who stay at home?
Joe's a fighter. You have to give him that.
Only marginally. And if you'd read the whole report as opposed to the headlines, you would have seen that children of mothers who work part-time...
Caro works 3 days a week.
...do better than either. But, of course, the newspapers wouldn't print that. They're run by middle-aged men who have wives at home, and they know that if they can get working mothers and stay-at-home mothers to think that each other are the real enemy, then men are out of the firing line. It's quite subtle, really, for men.
Emma, I don't think you left your room very tidy for Mary and Daisy last night. There's a whole pile of clutter on the dressing table that it would be nice if you could clear up.
How old do you have to be to get beyond your mother ordering you to tidy your room? 50? Still, I might as well get out before I'm attacked too. I must say, it does seem a pity that all mothers these days seem to be condemned either as lazy cows living off someone else's money or hard-bitten witches who neglect their families in pursuit of their career. It doesn't give me much of a role model to aim for. Well, I'd better get ready for drinks at the Hendersons. It's bound to be hell. I just have to tell myself that in 10 days' time, I'll be back to normal life, whatever that is.
Shall we walk to the Hendersons?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
So, children, off you go.
We were all shuffled like cards and dealt out to appropriate strangers. I found myself matched up with a spare man, who was about 55. or 63, as he later told me, spraying bits of quiche through his dentures.
Now, which of these children is yours?
None of them, I'm afraid. Just nieces and nephews.
Mustn't hang about, must you? Did you see that report in the papers about women these days leaving it too late because of their careers?
Of course I had. I'd realised that when Matt left, that might be my last chance. I wondered whether I owed it to myself to get pregnant anyway. Whether I'd always regressed if I didn't. But looking at Caro and Mary, I've realised that although I do want children, I don't envy their lives at the moment. And it would be even tougher for them if they were on their own. So I suppose that's something I can take away from this Christmas. Bit negative, though. No, I didn't read those reports. How extraordinary. Perhaps they were in the tabloids. They do make it up as they go along, don't you think?
Hmm.
Aren't you getting tired of all these stories about grannies of 52 becoming mothers?
Women of 52 are a bit past it. Most men prefer pretty young things like you. Do you ever get to Leeds? I've got a flat there.
Goodness, Leeds. No, I don't think so.
Emma, have you met Lucas Brown?
Oh.
You've both got... Oh, Binky! Oh, you've made it! Oh,
we've both got... children?
Mm-mm, afraid not. What about you?
Well, my ex-wife has taken to Australia. She's emigrated there with a new husband.
Can she do that?
He could have fought it in court, but he'd have lost his job if he hadn't gone. Mm. She doesn't think he'd get another one easily in this country. The choice was between my children having a good life, but me only seeing them once a year, or throwing the whole family, including my children, into poverty, according to my ex-wife.
Poor you. Poor children. I guess you don't have to work for a charity to find someone worse off than you at Christmas. But he looks nice.
So, what else could we both have got? And do you think it's infectious?
I think we've both got, divorced. Except, of course, that I was never properly married in the first place.
Wow. Was that an oversight or lack of commitment on someone's part?
Well, in fact, now you mention it, I did have doubts in the early days. Then we got very settled together. It was comfortable. I suppose if I think about it, it hadn't been much more than that for a long time. I couldn't have imagined life without him.
And how is life without him?
I suddenly realised that for all its irritations, I'd quite enjoyed this Christmas. Having other people around, even arguing with each other, had taken my mind off Matt and Katie. And I'd realised that having a baby was a bit less serene than Joseph, Mary and Jesus are on the Christmas cards. It certainly involves a lot more work and a lot less adoration. And this Lucas Brown person seems distinctly tasty. Now you ask, life without Matt isn't as bad as I'd thought. Do you...
I think there's something unspeakable that's just a bit of that. Now, do we find out what happens next, or shall we take cover in that rather nice-looking pub I spotted on my way through the village?
Was that a date or not? Oh, who cares? Let's just enjoy it.